Welcome to the Barth Calderon Wealth Protector Podcast. Our founder, Harry Barth, and his son, Brad, are top speakers on asset protection and estate planning to many incredible groups across the country, including the Women Presidents Organization, Vistage, the Young Presidents Organization, the California Apartment Association, and many more. And now, here is your host, Paul Hitchcock.
Hi, this is Paul Hitchcock, and welcome to Wealth Protector Radio, our podcast show. I'm here with my colleague, Brad Barth, who's our estate and asset protection planning expert. Hi, Brad.
Hello, Paul.
And yeah, so Brad and I were talking, and we thought that a good subject to talk about today would be guardianship for your kids. As Brad mentioned, we were getting here close to the holidays. People are traveling. And so, Brad, I know this question comes up a lot, and so tell us why this is important now at this time of year, and also start telling us what is guardianship about.
Great, thanks, Paul. Yeah, guardianship, it does happen to come up more this time of year just simply because people are traveling a lot and they start to think, well, gee, what if something happens to me and my spouse and I are traveling and there's some type of accident on the road, who will take care of the minor children? And this also was one of the reasons why a lot of people come in and make changes to their estate plan, because it's the people that they chose a handful of years ago. As the kids get older, or maybe there's more kids, their choice of guardianship changes over time based upon their own principles and values.
Guardianship is part of an estate plan. I guess that's one of the main things.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, thanks for clarifying. Yeah, part of an overall estate plan. So it's not just about who receives your stuff when you pass away, or who makes decisions for you, or medical decisions if you can't make them for yourself, but part of it also is if you're incapacitated or you pass away, who takes care of your children if you can't do it yourself. And I've found this to be one of the most difficult decisions that people have to make, because if you think about it, Paul, who really is able to take care of your kids better than you?
So
sometimes people just instinctively say my parents or my sister. And this is what I was talking about, moving through life cycle, because I myself have four kids, and when I first had children, 18, 19 years ago, of course it was mom and dad. Mom and dad were the go-to guardianship.
Yeah.
But then you fast forward, 10, 15, 16, 17 years, and now mom and dad, they don't want to deal with teenage girls. I mean, I don't want to deal with teenage girls, So maybe mom and dad would have been great when the kids were a little bit younger, but now mom and dad are a little bit older. And so maybe mom and dad are now no longer the proper choice. Maybe now the proper choice would be someone like my sister, where I have some nieces and nephews, and maybe the more appropriate type of relationship. But that brings up a whole other issue, is what I want to get to. It's like the choices that people have when it comes to guardianship. So let me address the two main choices that you have. So let me use the example I just kind of gave, mom and dad versus my sister. So when it comes to people choosing mom and dad, it's normally mom or dad. They typically come together, mom and dad. If dad is unavailable, then mom. If mom is unavailable, then dad.
Yeah.
There's kind of a built-in succession between the two of them. But that may not be the case when it comes to your sister and your brother-in-law. So you say, well, I want my sister. I didn't really want my brother-in-law so much, but he happens to come along with the package because I'm putting my kids in their household. And if you're putting your kids in their household, if your sister isn't available, your primary choice, and your kids need to be signed into school, or they have, God forbid, some type of medical emergency, well, your brother-in-law needs to be able to sign them in too. So we have to give him the guardianship powers. But now what happens, though, if your sister becomes unavailable? Or what happens if there's a divorce between your sister and your brother-in-law?
Yeah, I see that divorce, yeah.
What happens to your kids? There's a custody battle. What happens to your kids? So when I said with mom and dad, mom or dad, either one or both of them, that may not be the case with my sister and my brother-in-law. When I said my sister and my brother-in-law, I meant my sister's preferred. And so if my sister is unavailable, they don't stay with my brother-in-law. They go down to the next level of people.
Oh, so you can divide it up that way and exclude the brother-in-law.
If under those circumstances, yes. You give them power only so long as the kids are attached to my sister. And so if there's a divorce and my sister and my brother-in-law may have custody battles amongst themselves, but my kids go with my sister.
Ah,
so you see, so we have what's basically a preferred arrangement. Very different than what you do with mom and dad. mom and dad, it's either one or both. We don't care. They're the grandparents. But when it comes to your siblings and your in-laws, typically I found that people prefer the siblings, but the in-laws just kind of come along with it. But if there's a problem, the in-law themselves is not the preferred spouse. It's really your sibling, the preferred spouse.
Why does it even matter that you have to appoint officially a guardian? Because if you don't do it, then what happens?
Right. Then you have effectively a guardianship of the estate. Then the state comes in. You have a minor child. You have the state comes in and creates a guardianship of the person. So basically, when you have a guardianship, it has both a guardianship of the person, which we would refer to in a will as a traditional guardianship, and a guardianship of the estate, who manages the money. And it doesn't have to always be in the same people.
No.
We've spoke about this before, that you may have someone taking care of the money via the trust, via what we call a trustee would manage the money, but the guardian would have the custody of the child. So again, going back to my example, my sister may be the guardian who has physical custody of my kids, but now my dad would be the trustee of my trust for the money.
Okay.
So I have a little bit of a checks and balances in there, right? So
yeah.
My sister has the children. My father has the finances. My mom, my dad, and my sister get along just great. So my kids won't suffer from that relationship. But if you don't have someone designated in your will, the problem that you have is now you have a vacancy, and now you're leaving it up to the state. So you have to go through the probate process.
Nobody wants that.
Nobody wants that,
and,
yeah.
And I've often heard you mention too, Brad, when this issue comes up, is that when you're choosing a guardian, you got to think about, does the guardian have the financial wherewithal?
Right.
I mean, you have four kids. I have four kids too.
Right.
I mean, do they have a house big enough for your kids? And are there other issues that you can put in place to help the guardian take care of your kids with other planning issues or insurance or something? Right?
That's exactly right. And that's what I was just giving you the example of. My father's the trustee, which holds the purse, all the finances, but my sister has custody of the kids as the guardian. And so all of a sudden, my sister's got two kids, I got four kids, and all of a sudden I pass away, I'm now plopping my four kids into my sister's household. Well, as you just said correctly, Paul, well, now she doesn't have a family of four, her husband and the two kids. Now she's got a family of eight. And the house isn't big enough, and the car isn't big enough, and the family budget's gone much higher, and the vacationing and the cost of living has gone much higher. And I chose my sister because I think she's the best person based upon socioeconomics, relationships, values, et cetera, but my sister could always say no. I would love to, but it's creating too much of an economic hardship on me, which I can appreciate because they're an economic hardship on me now too. So this way, I can totally appreciate that. So to your point, you don't want them to say no. If all of a sudden my four kids come along with $4 million of life insurance death benefit, then it's like, okay, I can get a larger house, a larger car. I can afford the budget.
So that's part of the planning when you're looking at your estate plan, guardianship, people taking care of them, is the life insurance piece is kind of fits in as a component?
Yeah, absolutely. If you don't have the net dollars on hand, you need to create the legacy you don't otherwise have. Because although you may have a house, your children can't eat dirt. They need to have money to be able to sustain them. And so if you yourself don't have the money or the ability to generate that money, we have to create the legacy. Mm-hmm. And life insurance is the easiest and most cost-effective way of doing that. So yeah, life insurance is an absolute tool when it comes to an overall estate plan. So when we look at your financials from an estate planning perspective, we're looking at not only the financial the family dynamics, but we're also looking at who is the what type of assets do you have? Are they liquid? Are they illiquid? Are they tied up in retirement assets? Are they real estate assets? Are they income producing assets? And if we can't liquidate those to be able to take care of the children, then we turn to life insurance.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Right. So this is why I think it's important that that guardianship be looked at on a regular basis, because the people that you've chosen may have been great people 5 or 6 years ago. Like I said, my parents were initially the great options, but then my family outgrew my parents as potential guardians. I had to look to somebody else. So that's an important thing. And by the way, just as an aside, while we're on the topic, my oldest daughter is now 18. Right.
Right,
so she's not doesn't need a guardianship, right? because she's an adult under the eyes of the law.
Yeah.
But now the question is, some people say, well, okay, I want my oldest child at age 18 to be the guardian. Well, wait a second.
It's still pretty young.
It's still pretty young, right? Yeah. And now my daughter, just out of high school, ready to go on to college, do I want to burden my daughter with taking care of three other kids? The response,
right.
What damage am I doing to her, or what hindrances am I putting on top of her?
Her life's over.
Right.
Somehow as a mom and dad.
That's right. Yeah. So some people say this person at age 18, or when they turn 18, then this person becomes the guardian. And so maybe it's not always the best option. Maybe I continue to keep my sister for the minor kids so that my oldest daughter can go off and educate herself in school. And maybe later, maybe in 5 years after college, or maybe later when she's married and settled, whatever the case may be, maybe then she can become the guardian. So, as I said, this is a constant decision that's constantly in flux. It changes as life cycles change. And it just so happens at this time of year, because there's so much traveling going on, that this is a topic that's top of mind for most people.
Yeah, people are thinking about it. So my last comment would be, you're just talking about one component of the estate plan, guardianship, and there's a lot that goes into this, just one component. So estate planning, there's some thoughtful discussion that needs to go into it.
Oh, yeah. Like I always tell people, it's not about who gets your stuff when you die. There's a lot more that gets involved in it.
Right.
So thanks,
right.
Paul.
All right. Well, thanks, everyone, for joining us, and we look forward to seeing you next time. Thank you.